Let's take a few minutes to consider God's game plan for the real championship. We don't have a lot of this overwhelmingly powerful football fans in our congregation here, like some places that I've been. I've known some folks who, if their team was playing, they weren't going to even be at church because they liked that team so much. They would miss church to watch that team play their games. And I hope that we wouldn't think of those things as that important. Having lived in Alabama for over 20 years, and if you know anything about Alabama, you know that Alabama football is probably the most important thing in the state, I think, to people. And one of the things that I found while I was living there was that they used to talk about things that were a matter of life and death, but when it came to football, they said it was much more important than that. Well, the fact of the matter is, obviously, that it's not really. As we look at this, we want to talk a little bit about the idea of metaphors and similes. A metaphor or a simile is when we compare two things that are not the same, but we try to make similar comparisons. That's the word simile kind of sounds like similar. We're trying to make things alike that aren't really alike. And so when we think about God's game plan for the real championship, we're going to compare that to the game of football a little bit. And I know somebody this morning said, I don't know anything about football. I don't know what they're going to be doing this afternoon. I said, well, you just wait. We're going to tell you everything you need to know about football during the lesson today. And so we're going to cover all the need-to-knows about football today. But we're going to compare that to living the Christian life. You know, Paul talked about the running in the games, the Olympic-type things, running in a race. He talked about boxing, basically. He talked about, I don't fight by punching against the wind. You know, he talked about those kind of things. You know, we see a lot of things where the Christian life is compared to other physical activities on this earth. One of the things that's always interesting to me about big football fans that just think, you know, oh, it's the greatest thing. We've got to pay attention to every single thing. What we realize as we go along is that what seemed so important at one time really turns out not to be that important. And I've challenged people who are big-time fans. If they can tell me who won the Super Bowl the last 3 or 5 years and what the scores of those games were. Now, I know that there are folks out there that probably could, that have those facts memorized. But as of yet, I've had trouble finding anybody who can even tell me who won last year's game and by what score. And yet at the time that it's happening, our country seems to think it's the most significant event in the universe. And so today, millions of people will be paying attention to some men running around with a pigskin. You know, that's what they'll be doing this evening. And, you know, I'm all for entertainment. I don't even mind, you know, sports. I like sports. I played sports when I was growing up. Don't play them much anymore. Not kind of out of shape for things like that. But the fact of the matter is, if we'll realize there are some things that really matter, that really truly are a matter of life and death, or actually are truly more important than that. And football's just not one of them. Football's fun. It's a nice diversion. It can be enjoyable, but it's not as important as a matter of life and death. In fact, what we are dealing with here today is much more important than a matter of life and death. It's a matter of eternal life or eternal death. And so that's what we want to notice. As we look at God's game plan for us, you know, every coach, when they go into a game, he comes up with a plan. Here's what we want to do. Here's how we're going to do it. And so the team practices those things. Well, life is that preparing ourselves and playing this game. And though it's much more important than just a game, God has a plan for us to live by. And here are some things that God wants us to do. First of all, God wants us to run away from sins that are trying to tackle us. He wants us to run away from the lusts and desires. The Bible tells us, flee youthful lusts. Run away from them. Get as far away from them as you can. And so, there are times where we need to run. We need to run away from the sins trying to tackle us. Just like the football player runs away from the other team trying to tackle him. And then, God wants us to throw. He wants us to throw off all hindrances. The Bible talks about the runner that puts the weights on the leg in practice, but he doesn't run the race like that. We throw off all the things that hinder and the sin that so easily would entangle us and trip us up. You know, you think about that in the terms of football team. Obviously, you know, you want to make sure your shoelaces are tied so you don't trip over your own feet. You know, things like that. But in life, how many times do we allow worldly things to weigh us down and we need to throw those things off instead so that they won't hinder us from reaching our goal? The third thing that we want to notice is that God wants us to kick. That's an important part of football as well, is the kicking game. But God wants us to kick bad habits. Now, these things may not necessarily in and of themselves be sinful things, but perhaps they're things that have just taken too much of our time and energy. Maybe it's watching TV or reading a book, or maybe it's even something that we might say is good, like maybe some gardening or something, but we've allowed that to overwhelm us to the point that we're doing it and putting it before God, and then it becomes, even something that's not sinful can become sinful. So we need to kick some of those bad habits out of the way. The fourth thing we want to notice is that God wants us to catch. That's a very important part of football as well. You got to catch the ball. But in this case, God wants us to catch all His blessings. He's sending us blessings every day, and He wants us to catch those. He wants us to enjoy those blessings that He gives us. And we need to be sure that we appreciate the fact that He is sending those blessings and that we do catch all those blessings. So He wants us to run, He wants us to throw, He wants us to kick, He wants us to catch, but He also, God wants us to pass. He wants us to pass the word to others. Or we could say, hand off the word to others. The way that the church grows is by us sharing God's word with other people. It won't work any other way. It's the ultimate in network marketing, really, where that was God's plan. Everyone teach somebody else. Paul tells that to Timothy when he says, "The things that I have committed to you, you teach to faithful men who will teach others also." And that's the pattern. We have to continue passing the word on to other people. But then God also wants us to tackle. He wants us to tackle our problems. If you're a lot like me, you don't like facing problems. You'd rather avoid them. It's a lot easier if you don't have to deal with problems. Unfortunately, problems don't go away if you ignore them, if you avoid them. Problems just get worse and worse. And so we have to tackle our problems. In the game of football, if the defense doesn't tackle the player on the other team with the ball, they'll never win. If we don't tackle the problems in our lives, we're not going to win in life. Too many times we just neglect these things and put off the problems and you know, boy, this is a perfect opportunity for me to talk about my dad, because he did it to me so many times when I was growing up. Most of you know that they gave us that silver van that we've been driving, and in Louisiana, of course, when you get rid of a vehicle and you drop your insurance on that vehicle, you have to turn that thing back in, the tag back in, the license plate, turn that back in, and you have to let them know that you don't have that vehicle anymore. It's been several months now, and he hadn't gotten around to doing that, so here a couple days back, he got a letter in the mail that said, we're going to suspend your driver's license because you've got this vehicle and you don't have insurance on it. So he had to call me and get me to send him a bunch of paperwork proving that I had the vehicle over here in Mississippi now. And then he had to go down there, and then he wound up not even needing all that paperwork after all the effort we went to get it all for him. But, you know, you put that problem on, oh, I'll deal with that tomorrow, I'll deal with that later. You keep putting that off, it builds up. It gets worse. And that's a perfect example, too, of how the problem a lot of times isn't as bad as you thought it was if you just go take care of it. When he got down there, they just took the tags and said, okay, well, we'll mark that off that you gave us the tags back, and that was it. And here, you know, all this, well, we're going to suspend your driver's license, you won't be able to drive the vehicle, you know, all these things. And it really wasn't that bad if just go take care of it. A lot of times we're worried about, well, I've got this little problem with my brother or sister, but you know, if I bring it up, it's going to destroy our relationship. We're never going to get to talk again. You know, it's going to be the end of the world. And if we ever just go talk, you know, brother, sister, this happened. And a lot of times it was just a misunderstanding and there was really, you know, it was nothing to it. But even sometimes when there is, if you go talk about it and deal with the problem, it'll dissipate. It'll disappear. We sing a song with the kids sometimes, it isn't any trouble just to P-R-A-Y, pray. If ever you're in trouble, it'll vanish like a bubble if you'll P-R-A-Y, pray. Well, and that may be true in some instances, but when you've got a problem with another person, you need to T-A-L-K, talk. You need to go talk to that person if you've got a problem. And you'll be surprised how quickly and how easily that problem can disappear. The problem that you've been worrying about, oh, I don't know, I can't, what's going to happen if I... Just go deal with it. Tackle those problems. Get them out of your lives. You can't win without tackling some problems. God also wants us to defend. He wants us to defend the faith. Jude says it a little differently. Jude says, contend for the faith. We want to defend the faith. We want to fight for it. We want to protect the faith from false attacks that are out there. And we can do that. But then, of course, also, God wants us to avoid penalties. In the game of football, a penalty can cost a team the game. They can lose because of a penalty. Now, penalties, of course, in the spiritual life would be sinful things. Sins in our lives. We need to avoid them. We may need to run away from sinful temptations and lusts and desires, but we need to just flat out avoid sinful situations. We need to avoid those places and those times that are going to cause us to be tempted. Stay away from that as much as we can. Avoid it. And one of the best ways to avoid it is by doing what's right. We avoid sin by doing the things that are right. Another important part of the game of football is the turnover ratio. And God wants us to pay attention to the turnover ratio. Our turnover ratio in the game of life with God is to turn over everything to Him. Now, that's a little different than the game of football. Usually in the game of football, you don't want to turn over things to the other team. That's a bad thing. But in our relationship with God, the only way we're going to win is if we turn over everything to Him. If we're fighting to hold on to it ourselves, that's not going to be a recipe for success. The goal is very important in the game of football, the goal line. We talked a few months ago about pressing toward the goal and how important that is. But we need to. We need to press toward the right goal. God wants us pressing toward the goal. Not just any goal. You know, there are a lot of goals out there. People have all sorts of goals in life. You know, some people want to be millionaires. Some people want to try every drug that's out there. You know, some people want to sleep around with everybody they can. Some people want to drive every fancy car they can. Some people want this and want that. And they've got all sorts of goals in life. But God wants us to press toward the right goal. Some of the most interesting events in football history have involved things where a situation where somebody is famously known as Wrong Way Corrigan, because he picked up the ball and ran the wrong way and ran to the other team's goal instead of his team's goal. Well, God doesn't want us running toward Satan's goal. He wants us running toward our goal. We need to be pressing toward the right goal. And then, of course, timeouts are important. We need to use our timeouts wisely. Now, we might think of a timeout as a time of rest. We all need rest. None of us can go all the time for our whole life. We've got to take a break sometime. We've got to have some downtime. We've got to have some recreation and some rest. But use it wisely. You know, some people get to the point where all they do is just lay around resting all the time, and they never get anything accomplished. It's tempting, isn't it? It's nice to rest, and sometimes you can get lulled, and oh, I can just stay here all the time. But the fact of the matter is, we have to have timeouts, but we have to use them wisely. We can't take advantage of them, but we do need to use them. We'll wear ourselves out, burn ourselves out, if we don't take some timeouts, but use them wisely. Even Jesus took time out to go off in the mountains alone, away from the crowds and away from his own disciples even, to just have some time to rest away from everybody else. So we need to do that. And then there's also halftime in the game. And we need to use our half times. And there will be times like this in our life where we've gotten partway into a particular thing. We use that halftime to reevaluate and make adjustments. We do that kind of at the beginning of a year with some people get New Year's resolutions, or, you know, well, this is something I want to work better at this coming year, and these kind of things. But we need to use these times, these half times in our lives, where we can reevaluate, how is this going? Is it working well? Am I making the progress that I want to? What can I do to correct the problem? You see, a lot of times in football games, halfway through the game, the team that's ahead is not the team that winds up winning. Because the team that's behind goes in there at halftime and says, okay, what, we got to change this. This is not working. We're losing this game. We've got to come out and do things differently. And so they come out in that second half and they win the game. And some of us sometimes, we need to examine our lives and see, is this going the way I want to? Is there something that I need to change? Do I need to go a different direction? Do I need to quit this particular thing and start this particular thing? Whatever it may be, but reevaluate and make adjustments. And then God wants us to score. He wants us to score points with and for Him. Now, I know that sounds bad. Well, we don't just score points with God. Well, the thing is, what is scoring points with God? Pleasing Him. God wants us to please Him. And when we please Him, we're scoring points with Him. But He also wants us to score points for Him. He wants us in our relationship to other people to show them the kind of love and the kind of righteousness and the kind of person that God wants us to be, to show that to other people so that they'll look at us and glorify Him and want to be a Christian, because they see Him living in our lives. And we can do that. And we'll score points with Him and score points for Him. And of course, the most obvious of all, perhaps, is God wants us to win it all. He wants us to win. You know, if it didn't, you know, they'll say, well, it doesn't matter who wins or loses, it's how you play the game. That is a lie. It matters. Especially in the Christian life, it matters whether you win or lose. In fact, that's of the utmost importance. Because whether you win or lose determines where you're going to spend eternity. Of course, the answer to that, it doesn't matter whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. The answer to that usually is, if it doesn't matter who wins or loses, why do they keep score? They keep score because it matters. And you can just ask those players on the team that loses this afternoon if it matters whether you win or lose. And in this case, there'll be a lot of factors there. The winners will get extra money. They'll get nice little rings that say they won the Super Bowl. They'll get to brag about it to their children and grandchildren for years and years, and you know, all sorts of things. It matters to them. But it matters even more to us whether we win or lose, because the destiny of our soul is at stake. We're going to go to heaven, or we're going to go to hell. It matters if we win. And God wants us to win. He wants us to win it all. Now, some might say, well, you know, I still don't understand how football works. You didn't teach me everything I needed to know. Yeah, I did, because the truth of the matter is, you don't need to know football to get to heaven. You probably know more about it than you need to know to get to heaven already, even if you don't know much about it at all. It's nice to have a game and watch a game and see some people having fun even and things like that, but we need to remember what's most important. The real championship is not this afternoon when two teams play a football game down in Houston. The real championship is going to be when we stand before God on Judgment Day and the scores are tallied and God looks at us and He's going to say one of two things. He's either going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Or He's going to say, "Come, good and faithful servant, enter in to the home prepared for you." That's the real championship right there. The thing about it is, we've got to be working it day in and day out here on earth now in order to win that ultimate championship. If you're not winning the game, maybe you need to reevaluate and make some adjustments. Maybe there are some sins that you need to kick out of your life, some bad habits that need to be kicked out of your life. Maybe there are some things you need to be running away from harder. Maybe there's something that you need to come and ask the prayers of the church to help you with. Perhaps you're not even on the team. You know, it's one of those things. None of us could go play on the Super Bowl teams because we weren't on the team. There are a lot of people who think they're living a good life and in fact, in some ways, maybe living better than people who are Christians in some areas of their lives. But they're not on the team. They're not on God's team. You can't win the real championship if you're not on God's team. So if you have a need to respond to God's invitation for any reason at this time, please do so as we stand and as we sing.